Rate. Debate.
And we are recording. Well, hello, girls and K's.
Hello.
Why did you just freak out?
Okay, well, usually when Sammy hits record, nothing happens, but this time I got like a huge pop-up and it was like a Siri voice being like, recording in progress. And it like freaked me out.
Yeah, they're doing that now. It is really freaky. I was like, that's so
I guess I'm glad it's like a probably good for like a consent thing of knowing you're being recorded, but
I'm
didn't
sure
accept
someone
it.
Must have complained. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I'm Sammy Brazell.
I'm Logan Keller.
We are back for episode, is it seven? Seven of this season.
Seven, truly.
Hey. Hey, Logan.
Yes, Sammy.
Who is your favorite working girl?
I would have to say the women of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire.
Oh, okay.
Because people think that they were martyrs, mm-hmm. but they were murdered by the lack of accountability by their bosses, and it led to a lot of labor reform.
Wow, that's really nice. It's a lot more serious. I was going to say, mine is Melanie Griffith from the 80s movie Working Girl.
Oh my god.
So
my other one would be Meg Stalter, who plays a like secretary on this new show Hacks that I started watching.
Oh, with Jean Smart?
Yeah, it's very good.
I need to watch it. I love Jean Smart. Oh, did you watch Mare of Easttown? Sorry, we're getting off track.
No.
Okay, Mare is my other favorite working girl. It's the Kate Winslet detective show where she's like a detective in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, and she's just like very worn, haggard, and she does like an actual Philly accent. And Jean Smart plays her mom, and she has to solve a murder.
Oh my god.
You should watch it. It's
wow.
Really good.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
It's really good. The Philly accents are out of control. Like, so freaking good. Anyway, so if this is your first time listening to Rate Debate Recreate, this show is a show where Logan and myself discuss a lot of things, but the main thing is each week we pick a musical, and that we pick it based on a category, and we rate that musical on a scale of 1 to 10, and we debate which one is better, and then think of one aspect that we would change and recreate it. And we can use that, you know, as liberally or as, I guess, stringently, conservatively, as we might.
No conservatism here.
No conservatism here. Oh, God. So, this week, our category is Working Girls. And my show
is 9 to 5.
Sorry,
somebody's texting me.
I keep getting, like, bings in my ears, and I'm like, leave me alone, I can't turn this off. Anyway, what's your show?
My show is Waitress.
Excellent.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. This is gonna be fun. Okay, so, mm-hmm. I guess let's get started with a little bit of summary.
Let's do it.
Seriously,
it really is summery. It's so humid.
It is really humid, and it's raining a lot here. How do you Same. Freaking turn the notifications off for...
I do know, actually. Go to the very top right of your Mac and click those bars, and then scroll up and click Do Not Disturb.
Oh my god. Those bars, Do Not Disturb. Thank Christ. Okay. Okay. So, I'll
Damn,
go first.
I should do IT.
You should. I've been trying to turn those off for like a million years. I've exited out. Anyway, all right. So, I'll go first with 9 to 5, if you don't know. So, it's based on the 1980 movie, which is based on the Dolly... Not based on the Dolly Parton song. I think the song was written for the movie, but I thought that would be funny. Anyway, the movie stars Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Dolly Parton. And the musical is Music and Lyrics by Dolly, and the book is by Patricia Resnick. It received 15 Drama Desk nominations, which is...
I know. Isn't that the most ever?
Yeah, it's like the most in a single year, which I didn't know, and I was kind of blown away by it. That's a lot. Like,
it's so surprising because it did not do well at all at the Tonys.
It got like 4 Tony
noms. It got 4, yeah.
Yeah, it was like... Anyway.
It wasn't even nominated for Best Musical.
I know. I guess Go Dolly. I don't know. She must have like a shoe-in at the... I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. But it premiered on Broadway in 2009, and it basically follows the same story as the movie. So you've got Violet, Judy, and Dorley, who work at this place called Consolidated. It's kind of like a mysterious, who knows what they're really doing company. Like,
yeah,
it's not important.
Like, very like a How to Succeed in Business.
Yeah, like, who cares?
Like, it's just like a company.
Generic
they do stuff.
Office. Yeah. So Violet is like a veteran. She's been there, not an actual veteran, just a veteran at the company. She's been there a long time and she's trying to get ahead, but she just can't seem to. Judy is new on the job and she's just separated from her husband, Dick. And Dorley is constantly being pestered by the boss, Mr. Hart, and doesn't have any friends because everyone assumes she's sleeping with him. So they're all stymied and shit on by the boss, Mr. Hart, who is a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot. That is something that they say quite often. And he gives someone else a promotion over Violet. He's awful to Judy. He tells everyone that Dorley is sleeping with him and, like, sexually harasses her. And one day the women kind of, like, put all this together and they figured out and they become friends. And then they get high together and visualize...
I love it!
I know. And they visualize the ways in which they would kill Mr. Hart. And then the next day, Violet accidentally puts, like, rat poison in his coffee. He's okay, but there's some confusion at the hospital, and the women think that they really hurt him, and then he finds out what they did, and they have this big confrontation, and the women end up kidnapping him and tying him up his own house, and basically just, like, enact all these positive changes at the office while he's gone. Like, they hire back someone who was fired for talking about salaries. They send someone to AA. they allow personal items, etc. And that's kind of it. It's just, like, a fun kind of feminist, like, farce kidnapping movie musical show. So... maybe this will be controversial, I don't know, but I want to give the actual execution of this musical an 8 out of 10. I think I have to give the construction / characterization choices a, like, 6 out of 10, possibly lower. And my rating system is 6 out of 10, sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigots. And I sort of, feel this way about the movie, but not quite as bad. I only think the pacing of the movie is off, not the characterization, and I have things to say about characterization in the show, so. What?
Love it.
Okay.
I'm excited to talk about 9 to 5. Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my show for the week is Waitress. So Waitress is also based on a movie, Waitress, and I would say similar to 9 to 5. So I haven't seen the 9 to 5 movie, but I have seen the Waitress movie and the musical. But from what I've heard about 9 to 5, it's very similar in that it's basically just the movie on stage. Like,
basically, there's
not changes, reinventing but... the wheel. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, I think they're similar in that sense. If this sounds weird, it's because we just had a little technical difficulty, mm-hmm. so it might not be totally... continuous, but basically it follows Jenna, who works at a diner in, like, the rural South, and she is in a very loveless marriage, and accidentally gets pregnant. Basically, the story follows her having an affair with her gynecologist, and she also has two other working gals that she's best friends with at work, Dawn and Becky. And you get a lot of their stories as well, and they're a very, like, strong trio, friend group that, like, support each other and I think have, like, different strengths that support each other. Becky's whole thing is that she's sleeping with the manager of the diner that they work at, which is kind of, like, causes some distress. Dawn's thing is that she's really shy and has a lot of, like, insecurities about dating, but eventually goes on a date and falls in love with this guy. And it basically just tells those three stories up until Jenna has her baby. And then everything changes. And that's when it ends.
Amazing.
So, Waitress, Waitress, I am going to give an I didn't think of a
Oh no.
Oh, okay. I thought of a rating system.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it 8 out of 10 deep shit blueberry bacon pies.
Beautiful. Deep shit blueberry bacon. I am going to give Waitress a 7 out. Yeah, I was initially going to give it a lower rating, actually, because I saw this musical on Broadway when I visited New York with my sisters once, and we had a semi-negative reaction, but the one that we watched for this show I liked a lot better, so I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. Deep shit blueberry bacon pie.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give 9 to 5, 8 out of 10. I can't remember the egotistical,
sexist,
arrogant,
egotistical, lying,
asshole.
Hypocritical bigot. Is
yes,
it because you're a sexist,
bigot.
Egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, that's very funny.
So, were you in this show or something?
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, yes, I was. I was in this show, which, honestly...
Oh, so were you, like, in the ensemble chorus, or did you
no.
have one of the three women?
I was one of the three women. I was Doralee Rhodes, so I was Dolly Parton, which, if you've ever, like, looked at my chest area, doesn't make a ton of sense. but I had, like, a fake bra. It was a lot. It was actually, like, I look back on it, like, fondly now, because... It's one of those things where, like, it was such a shit show. It was such a, like, shit show high school production.
Yeah.
That now that I look back on it, I'm like, wow, we just, like, sat around and bitched about what a shit show it was the whole time. But I did have a fun time. The other two girls who did it with me were really great. It was my Judy and my Violet. It was fun. And I think there's some pictures somewhere, so you can... I don't really
Ooh.
Think my favorite...
Maybe I'll do that for the promo image.
Yeah, you should. I'll try to find them. I know they're on Facebook somewhere in the depths.
I guarantee you I can find them.
Yeah. Yeah. I was Doralee Backwoods Barbie herself. Man. But I guess that is a good segue.
Yeah, should we get into it?
Yeah. So I'm going to start with some of the issues I have with the construction of the show, because I think the movie has, like, a bit of those same problems. As far as, like, pacing. So, you've never seen the movie, but the movie, when Mr. Hart actually gets kidnapped, there are, like, 25 minutes left in the entire film or something like that. Like, it happens weirdly late in the actual movie. And in the musical, it happens at the end of the first act. And the first act is, like, really fucking long. Like, it's a really
oh my God, yeah.
long first act. And then the second act is, like, 30 minutes. It's like kind of the same issue, but I think the musical adds a couple of things in, which I'll get to in a minute, that they have to, like, there's, like, not enough content except, like, these weird little things that they've added, so there's not much to really do in the second act except be like, wow, things are great,
resolve
the love story, but they, like, stretch it out. It's, like, too long. I do not write musicals for a living. I am not sure where I would have cut. Like, because I feel like the kidnapping is, like, a good
place. Have
pace.
You seen the... Have you read about the UK version?
No, I have not.
So, it was recently done on West End, like, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think... Okay, don't quote me on this, but I remember that I got really good reviews.
Okay.
But they... That, you know, the three high sequence songs, they just did all of that in one song. So they took out all three of those and then did, like, kind of like a little medley of it. And I think, I don't know, I could imagine that could be a nice place to make it a little shorter, because
that is kind of long.
That
it's
whole
fun.
Thing
it's
is basically
long.
Just being like, we want to kill him, but it's like 15 minutes between their three show stopping songs that they
it's
all
so
get.
Long.
With, like, Mark Kudish, who plays Mr. Hart, doing, like, the most physical comedy, like,
he's
tying him
funny.
Up like a pig. Yeah.
He's very funny, but that brings me to my next point, so, having been in the show, I have a lot of strong feelings about this, because when we did the show in high school, I was Doralee, and our director did basically exactly what this Broadway production does, which is play up the, like, physical comedy and the actual comedy and, like, the doofiness of the Mr. Hart character, like, to the fucking sky. Like, sky's the limit on how ridiculous you want this guy to be. And I think, like, when you do that, everything is played for laughs in a way that's really uncomfortable. Like, when you watch the movie, he's way more dialed down. Like, he's still an asshole. You still kind of roll your eyes at this guy, like, this fucking prick. But he is, like, way toned down in a way and still gross. Like, you can still be gross without, like, constantly winking at the audience, like, hey, 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 aren't I disgusting? And, like, I mean, the audience is laughing because what he's doing is funny. Like, he's supposed to be funny. And that's always, especially, like, I watched the movie and the musical pretty close, and watching the difference in the way that they were portrayed, I was just like, oh, I don't really like this. It makes me feel kind of icky. Like, when he, like, pretends to honk her boobs, or he lays down and looks under her skirt, it's played for laughs. Like, it's completely played for laughs. And the things that happen in the movie are still gross. He's just not a buffoon. Like, he doesn't appear stupid. And I think he appears stupid in the musical.
Yeah, and no, I agree.
What they're going for, but it just, like, really bothered me this time around, I think. And I wish they had played it, like, a little more straight. Because he's still gross. And, like,
that's really interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
No, okay, really quickly. I was just going to say that I thought of it in a different way. And I totally see what you're saying now. And, like, I agree that a lot of it was just done for laughs. My, like, understanding when I watched it was more, like, he needed to be, like, comically bad, like, to the point where you literally want him to be killed, and, like, you would still be on their side, but also he can't, I don't know, but no, I see what you're saying,
because, like, I agree totally with that,
all play for laughs.
Like, I think he needs to be comically bad, and I get that, but, like, I think the character in the movie, he still has, like, jokes, he still says things, but the way he says it is, like, a roll your eyes at, oh my god, this fucking guy. Like, you laugh because it is so horrible or, like, ridiculous, but this guy, you're laughing at him because he's, like, trying to make you laugh.
In a funny way, and like, it's literally a comedic bit. Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to make you laugh at him, and, like, in a way that feels like you're weirdly on his side, and the guy in the movie is not doing that. He's just, like, being gross, but in a way more toned down way, but still elevated in the sense of, like, what he's saying and what he's doing is still really bad, but he's not trying to make you feel in on the joke, I think, is, like, the difference.
Anyway, I'm on board.
But that was my thing. And the other thing, I hate to do this to my dear love Andy Carl, I have to do it.
Oh, wait, what?
So in the movie, Violet does not have a love interest. And I really...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you had a problem with Andy Carl.
Oh, no, I don't. Okay, I agree Carl. With this. I like Andy Carl. I don't have a problem with him. We like Andy Carl. I just don't like the fact that they felt the need to include Joe as a character. Yeah, like, they don't do anything. He's just there to basically be like, hey, Violet, will you date me? Hey, Violet, will you date me? And, like, he has some cute little jokes. Like, he says something about, like, getting the original and not the copy within the copier room. Like, he has some cute little jokes or whatever, but, like, he basically just kind of pesters her until she agrees to go out with him, which is, like, okay, I didn't need this. And then the song that they have when they get together is, like, not even that good.
Yeah, also, when you think about it, like, when they do get together, she basically is like, I'm a one-love person, and my love died 3 years ago. He tells her, no, it's actually time for you to move on.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I guess it is.
I know, and that's why...
like, she is so much more independent and, like, in her control than to be told that and suddenly change her mind.
Yeah, he just plays into, like, it's the kind of typical, like, rom-com thing where it's just kind of like, pester, 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 but it's not even, like, they're the stars of the show, so you have no room to, like, even grow to like him a little bit outside of him coming in and being like, hey, Violet, you want to go out? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just felt, like, unnecessary, and the movie doesn't have it, and the movie works fine without it. So those are my major issues. But as far as, like, the positives, I mean, I love Dolly Parton so much. We'll come back to Queen Dolly. I think she's wonderful and lovely and really talented. And I don't think the music in this show is, like, oh my god, emotional resonance forever. Like, it's not like freaking Sunday in the Park with George, where I'm, like, sitting there silently sobbing. Like,
sobbing, yeah.
Thinking about, like, my relationship to art, you know? Like, but it's really catchy. It's super fun. Like, 9 to 5 is obviously a banger. Honestly, as much as I don't like Mr. Hart, Mark Kudis kills that song.
Oh my god.
I care for you. He really kills it. I just, Might's a great song. I really like Backwoods Barbie. And then, like, Shine Like the Sun is an absolute banger.
It's so good.
It's really good.
I have three songs from this show on my musical theater workout playlist.
Yeah, it's definitely got a lot of those. But, and then, Change It's great. Get Out and Stay Out is so good. Stephanie J. Block.
So good.
So good. She kills it. Yeah, so I don't think this music is, like, life-changing or something that I will look back and be like, wow, that really, like, got me through a hard time in my life, or it made me consider my emotions or art or whatever in a different way. But it's fun to run to or to listen to and, like, jam out. So I like it. It's fun. Go Dolly. And then, I mean, you've got three ladies in the show. You got three ladies in Waitress. And you gotta nail this, because the three in the movie are really good, and I think they do nail it. Like,
yeah.
Stephanie J. Block, Allison Janney, and Megan Hilty, like, are so good together. They work really well off each other. They've got great comedic timing, all three of them. Especially Stephanie J. Block. Like, every well-timed little, like, gasp or scream, like, she's so jumpy, and she really, like, times her jumpiness very well to the situations around her. I love the
moment. She's so
perfect. I know. She's perfect. I really love her. And she's got to be the Jane Fonda of the group, so that's hard. And then Allison Janney, I felt like she felt like the closest to Lily Tomlin spiritually to me, even more so than Megan Hilty, just because she's, like, a little gruffer maybe, but she has the same kind of, like, reluctant mothering vibe, where she's like, not, like, I guess I gotta take care of these people again. Like, and she, but she is, like, happy to do it. She just kind of like, oh god, you know. And then, I mean, Megan Hilty is just, like, my absolute bitch. I love her so much. She is so beautiful, and she sings so well, and she has the hardest part. I'm not kidding. When you look at the sheet music for the Dolly part, the Dorley role, it looks like Dolly Parton just, like, sat there with some darts and, like, threw them at the staff. Like, it makes no sense. The runs are insane. I was, like, 17 years old. I can't fucking do that. And my, like, the director was like, just, like, figure out some stuff. Like, I don't care. And I was like, okay. Like, it is so hard. And you can hear her, like, like, running all over the place. She's so good. It's really
She's incredible.
Hard. So,
also, I feel like in general, I mean, so we did 9 to 5 in one of our shows. And I feel like that is a crazy song. Like, get up, you want, get up, you want. Like, the back is just, like,
I know.
Literally, Dolly it feels Parton like you're on, like, Adderall.
She was like, Dolly Parton said, I'm going to make these orchestral, and it's going to work, and it's going to be hard. It's, like, way harder than it needs to
be. It's really hard to sing, yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, that's really all I got. I think, like, those are my, and, like, I feel kind of, I think, like, whatever, it's fun isn't really a criticism, but mostly I kind of feel like whatever, it's fun about this, with, like, some big caveats. About the pacing of it, and also just the inclusion of the male characters. It fuck up everything, so.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Okay, I actually want to say a little bit about 9 to 5. So this was actually, so I've listened to the music forever. Like, I love the music from this, but I had never seen it until I watched it for this episode. I fucking loved it.
You loved it.
I thought it was
I
like, totally acknowledge your, like, criticisms of it, and I think now you have me on your side on that. And it is such, like, in just, like, the staging of the Broadway version, it's such a classic, like, big production musical, which I, like, while I love me my little, like, fun home next to normal, you know, small ensemble stuff, I also love to be blown away by musical productions. And you get some like crazy moments in this show of exactly that. Stephanie J. Block in her little high sequence coming out in that like tango, beautiful dress. And oh, like it really hits that spot for me. And I found myself like after every single song ended was like literally just stoned in my basement where I live now, like clapping my heart out.
I'm gonna get stoned in my
so
basement.
I like it a lot more than I thought I would. And I also, to be honest, Sammy, I did not know the plot.
Really?
I thought it was just like Office Gals.
No! Oh, were you like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Loved it, but...
Yeah. It's crazy. It's really fun.
Yeah, it is.
No, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And it's one of those things, we've talked about this, like, when you're looking to just like go to a theater and be like, I don't really want to think about anything and just like watch something, it's like, oh, this is great. Like, this is going to entertain me. The audience in the one we watched was, off the fucking chain. They were having such
literally
a good time.
I'm like, was it closing night or something?
I know. It was really weird. But, and it's one of those
they gave freaking Allison Janney, like, a standing ovation in the middle of her song. And she had to, like, stop for, like, a good amount of time.
I mean, she deserves it. She deserves the world. But it's one of those, it's just one of those things, you know? You want to go have a good time? You're going to have a freaking great time. You're going to have fun at 9 to 5. But we have to think critically sometimes. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
But.
We do.
It is really good. I was also going to say, this is so random, but I noticed, is it like a thing in 80s movies or musicals to like make weird jokes about future brands? Because in The Wedding Singer, they do that whole thing where they're like,
I think they do it in How to Succeed, too.
Yeah. They do it in The Wedding Singer. They're like, no one's going to pay $4 for a coffee or like something like that about Starbucks. And then in this one, she has that moment where...
Just do it.
Yeah.
I like that.
That would be a good slogan for something. And you're like, is this like a joke? It's kind of a cheap and easy joke, I guess. And they're like, it's just easy to do it. But I just something I noticed.
Just do it.
Just do it. Oh, man. Should we waitress it up?
Yeah, let's waitress. Okay, so... I, first of all, want to explain my rating. So I rated this an 8 out of 10. And to break that rating down a little more with a little more nuance, I want to make one thing clear. The music and the performances are a straight up 10 out of 10 for me.
The music is great.
No questions asked. Like, the performances of Jesse Mueller, Kimiko Glenn, Kayla Settle, Christopher Fitzgerald, Nick Cordero, like, rest in peace. Like, that whole crew is just unbelievable. And the music of Sarah Bareilles is incredible. I think the show itself is more like a 7 to me, which is why I averaged it to an 8 to give, like, credit where the credit's due on the music part. I truly, this, I know this is a big statement to make, but I really think that Jesse Mueller gave the performance of a lifetime in this role.
Yeah.
I think like she is like an iconic like role here, and it's crazy because the 2016 Tony Awards, I think I talked about this on a previous episode, but I think that's the most competitive year that's like ever existed. Yeah, so like she didn't win because Cynthia Erivo won for Color Purple, which like
of course
no one I like don't know if anyone could ever beat that.
Yeah.
So, I agree with that. I'm not saying Jesse was robbed, but, like, I do think that any other year, Jesse would have won the Tony for playing this role.
Yeah.
And I feel strongly about that.
I will say, I'll save, like, my thoughts later, but, like, she made me cry. Like, she was really good. Like, everything changes.
Yeah, I feel like she just understands the role.
She's a really good emotion, like, emotive singer. She's very good.
Mm-hmm. I'll start off with the cons, because honestly, none of my cons are, like, bad or, like, this is problematic. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of, like, I feel a little meh about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that for me, plot-wise, the book of this show is just pretty weak.
Yeah.
I think that, like, yes, I do think that especially Jesse Mueller and Drew Gehling, I think they had incredible chemistry on stage. But I don't understand the appeal of the doctor. Like, I feel like he's supposed to be this, like, spark of romantic connection that she's never felt before. And like he literally is just this awkward ass gynecologist and like doesn't he's like working on her and like
Working on
crossing
her.
boundaries.
Yeah.
That's like what do gynecologists do?
Sorry,
Like
I was
literally
like
he's like
so.
she's like open and he's like on
Oh my god,
her.
I know. Okay. Oh my god.
I don't know. I just feel like and like I'm not even saying that I do think that there's certainly a power dynamic there and that can be problematic, but in the case of Waitress, it feels 100% consensual and
Yeah,
more
I'm not worried about
like I
that.
don't think that's a concern, but I just am like I don't get it because it's like a huge I don't know. I don't get that.
I
You
would
can yeah, go
100%
ahead.
agree with you. This was me and my sister's biggest freaking, well, maybe not biggest. There was one other one that's not like really that serious, but like, and I don't think they had like the best chemistry in the world, but I think it was kind of his fault. I don't know why they didn't tell him to like tone down the awkwardness. He was so awkward and like not appealing in any way, to me at least. And I was like, I don't understand why she likes this man. Like, he was
Like she
way
has this like
too awkward.
flare of like a fiery connection to him, and he's just like this dork. And not that dorks can't be hot, because I think they can, but not the way he
Yeah.
was acting. Like he was like
No.
goofing around.
Yeah, it was not anything. Like, there are moments between them that are supposed to be like, oh my god, like, we're looking at each other, like, oh god, like, we touched, like, oh my, you know? And there's none of that. He was just like, I touched you. And that's actually why I upped it, because I thought the guy in the one that we watched was not as awkward
He
as
was
him. I thought he
phenomenal.
was really good, and I thought he and Sarah had, like, really good chemistry. And
Yeah,
I
so the
did
version we watched
not
was with
think,
Sarah Bareilles,
yeah.
and I can't remember who that guy was.
I don't know, but he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like why I upped it, because I remember walking out of it and being like, this is supposed to be like a love story, and then it's like bittersweet at the end because she makes the correct decision and like ends the relationship and like goes on with her daughter, and it's sad, but like she's gonna be fine and she's maybe gonna
Yeah,
find
she
someone
chooses
else.
herself.
I know, and then at the end, but I was just like, why don't we like this man? What's going
Yeah,
on?
I agree. I just don't think it's that compelling. I also like, maybe this is me being a little too harsh, but whenever I watch Waitress, I just think that nothing at all about the plot or execution itself is like that crazy. Like, it kind of feels a lot of times like it's like the scenes are just trying to get to the next song because the song's gonna be a banger and it's gonna like make everything feel better. But like the scenes themselves are just kind of like n irrelevant for me at times,
No, I
to be
completely
totally
agree.
honest.
Yeah, no, I feel that way too.
Also, my last con, which is not even that big of a con, it's just a thing I find weird, in literally my favorite song from the show, Everything Changes. I love that song to death. But one of the lyrics I have never understood. At the end of it, she was like, "And I swear I'll remember to say we were both born today." And it's really confusing because I'm like, is it, was your daughter born on your birthday? Or was your daughter born and you were emotionally
I think
reborn
it's
and that's why
emotionally
you're both born?
reborn. Emotionally reborn. That's exactly what
Every
it
time I hear it, I'm
is.
like,
This is like when you
they just
thought.
like randomly add in a lyric that they have the
Oh,
same
this is like
birthday.
when
I'm
you
like,
thought she was
why?
saying SeaWorld in Dogfight. That's clearly what it is. Oh my god. Okay, I'll let you get to the positive stuff, but the one other bad thing I have to say is. It was slightly better in the one we watched, but when we saw it on Broadway, their southern accents were bad. Really bad. I was like, is this what people think we sound like? What's going on? Like, it's not good.
Wow, fair.
That was my take. It was like mixing, it was like coming in and out, and it was mixing like areas of the country. I was like, I don't, this is not good. Where are you guys from? What's going on? Anyway.
That's a fair critique. Okay, I'll that being said, I love this show and I'm honestly willing to like I still think it's an A. I think it's great and super enjoyable. I just think I'm like not as jazzed about like I don't think this is like a groundbreaking show or anything. I just think it's a fun show with amazing music. Okay, one thing I just want to dive into a little bit about, I do think that the character of Jenna is written really, really well. I think she's like very complex and has this really clear and real like need to integrate herself with two truths. And once she does that, like that's when everything changes. Which to me, it's like in order to like heal herself enough to be able to come out of this abusive relationship, she needs to like accept her relationship with her mother and her relationship with her unborn child. And the moment that she does these, so I the when I said it, when I think it was in the show is when she like hallucinates her mother during childbirth, that's when she like lets go of that pain of her mother being dead. And then when she holds her baby for the first time, after like not wanting to look at it, and she like looks into his eyes, and like literally from that second on, it's like he is out of the question. There's she's left her husband, he is dead to her, like she never wants to see him again. And I don't know, I
It's
really,
really
really
nice.
love that part of it. I think it's a cool like intergenerational merging of like trauma healing all at once.
Yeah, I do really appreciate this show too, just because it is like so female driven, and the movie's that way too. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but from what I remember, the movie is like basically the same. And it's just like a nice little, it's like a small story, but the characters, for the most part, feel like pretty fleshed out and realized, and it's nice to see that. Yeah.
Another part of the in-between songs that I'm just gonna call it now that I really love and actually will talk about more is the like using pies as like inner feelings like coming out or as like segues to scenes. So if you haven't seen Waitress, basically Jenna will like go into this dream state kind of and develop these pies, and it's like sometimes it's like to encourage herself for a tough situation. Sometimes she's like feeling really awkward. I don't know, it's just like different things, but she'll be like blueberry bubba pie, like blueberry to make myself feel blue. I don't know, like stuff like that. And I think it's so cool.
Yeah, I also they use it in like the sex scene where, or like the sex montage where like she'll come running in and be like upside down cake and then like it goes down on her.
Pineapple upside down,
Yeah.
yeah.
So I thought that was cute. That was a cute little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, also on that note, I think it's yeah, that song. I love the part where they're all fucking at the same, like the all three women are each going undergoing the sexual excursions, and you see it happening at the same time. It's so funny. So another thing I mentioned that I think like I have to talk about with Waitress is the performance of the cast members. And one reason because in one of our previous episodes, the Once episode, I talk about how both Kayla Settle and Kimiko Glenn should have been nominated for Tonys, and I'm gonna stand by that. But Jesse Mueller, like I said, like I think just truly understands the character and like vocally just is the truth. Like she is
Yeah.
able to do it.
She's in her vocal ability is insane. I'm sorry, but
Unparalleled,
yeah.
truly. I don't think Kayla Settle gets enough love. I think she is so phenomenal in this show. And her song, I Didn't Plan It, is
So good.
just like such a showstopper in the show. Like when I saw it on Broadway twice, and both times was like it wasn't actually her, but that song itself was such, well, one of them was her, but the other time wasn't. was such a show-stopping moment. Kimiko Glenn, icon. I think Dawn is such a fun character, with a lot of depth, honestly, that's like shown really well. But I love her, like her whole little thing with
I
Ogi.
love, they're my favorite part of the show. Like
It's
when I
so
saw it,
good.
they're
Ogi
both
is
so funny.
amazing.
I know. She also has my favorite song. I
When he
When He
sees
Sees
me,
Me is my favorite. Yeah.
it's
So
amazing.
good.
I think Nick Cordero, rest in peace again, but he's the one who plays her abusive husband. I think he does a really good job of what I think you pointed out. They struggle to do a 9 to 5 of being like hateable, but still like not over the top about it. I think
Yeah.
that he is, you clearly want him to lose. He's awful, but it's a great performance.
I know. And I think, I mean, kind of, like, it's easy to slip into, like, really over the top or, like, kind of, like, outwardly over the top aggressive at all times, right? It's really easy to slip into that when you're playing, like, a horrible, abusive person. But he doesn't do that. And, like, when I was watching this most recent one, like, during their song, like, it is, to me at least, I feel like you have to make the audience, and this is so stupid because people stay in those types of relationships for all kinds of reasons, but you have to, like, communicate to the audience why she's there, and I think he does that appropriately.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And then last, we mentioned this, but Christopher Fitzgerald as Okie, like, unbelievable.
So he
got, like, rave reviews. A lot of people thought he was going to win the Tony over, Diffie Diggs from
Hamilton.
Really?
He was really good.
I thought he was amazing. And then he ended up staying in the show for, like, he was in the, like, cast for so long. I don't remember when exactly he left, but I think it was, like, 3 years that he continued playing that role.
I love that man. He was so good at it.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. But yeah, I think the main pull about the show for me is just the music. I literally, like, it's a show that I love to listen to all at once because it flows so well. Sarah Bareilles did a really good job of putting her, like, little genius touch that she does on music, but turning it into musical theater as well. So it's not a Sarah Bareilles musical. Like, it sounds exactly like her, but you totally see her influence in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what I have to say.
Oh, I think we've covered everything.
I'm really excited for my recreate, to be honest.
I'm really excited about mine, too. Okay, let's go. So,
let's do that.
When I think, like, people, or at least, I don't know, maybe not in your experience, but in mine, I think people think that 9 to 5 is, like, a Dolly Parton jukebox musical.
Yeah, not, I get that.
I mean, she wrote everything, but it's not a jukebox musical, necessarily. So I just figured I'd make the Dolly Parton jukebox musical.
Ooh.
And so it's going to be based around Jolene. You know, the Jolene. I'm begging of you.
I've heard of her.
Take my man. Heard of her. She's a crafty one. So Dolly has said before that she wrote Jolene about a redheaded bank teller who flirted with her husband once. Like, it just kind of came to her in that moment, which I love. But I thought that this movie, and she wrote it in, like, the 1970s, so I thought that this musical could be about a married woman in the 1970s who's kind of in love with this bank teller who she thinks is flirting with her husband.
Wow, I love this.
So these are not all of the songs that would be in the show because it would be too short, but, like, loosely in the order they would appear in and, like, ones I could think to give, like, context for what they're about. So I think we should just open with 9 to 5. It's a banger of an opener.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's such a good opener.
And the main character, the protagonist in this story, she's going to be a working girl, so it's just, like, setting up her day. Her husband can sing it, too. He works at the bank. That's how they know each other. So, yeah, just setting up their day. They're going off to work. And then the next song that would come in the story is Jolene. So her husband works at the bank, in my mind, because there's got to be some reason for him to be at the bank all the time and for his wife to have to, like, go to the bank and have these fears / suspicions. So I think this comes, like, right after maybe she, like, walks in because her and her husband are going to go get lunch or whatever. And, like, she sees this bank teller and her husband talking and she, like, thinks there's something there. And she's like, oh, God, Jolene, 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 Jolene. Next, we've got Coat of Many Colors. So this is sung by Jolene herself. So I think our protagonist, like, starts coming to the bank a little more on her lunch breaks. Like, and she is having these feelings that she, like, thinks they're jealousy, but really she just, like, wants to see this woman again. Like, she's kind of misplacing. Like, maybe they've had a few interactions, and she's just kind of, like, misplacing these feelings of, like, desire and thinking they're jealousy and not really understanding it. So for this song, they meet outside on Jolene's smoke break. They get to talking. They, like, randomly meet outside, whatever. They get to talking. Jolene tells her this story about her coat of many colors that her mom made growing up. Maybe this conversation stems from a weird coat Jolene has on. I don't know. But the next song would be a song called Telling Me Lies. So this is going to be the husband's song. I don't know if you know this. This isn't technically just a Dolly Parton song. It's There's a group called Trio, or maybe the album was just called Trio, but it was like an album by Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt, Emmy Lou Harris, another trio of queens. But it's a really heartbreaking song about being in a relationship where someone is lying to you. I want the story to have, like, some sympathy towards the husband as well and, like, kind of get into his psyche. So I think he sings this, like, after he's kind of, like, vibed that something is going down.
Yeah.
And then you've got my favorite Dolly Parton song, Here You Come Again, which is sung by Jolene and the protagonist when they're both kind of getting antsy about having this kind of forbidden affair. Because Here You Come Again is just about, like, being like, fuck you, you're so hot. That's, like, basically the, like, feeling of the song. It's a great song. And then the next one we've got, I Will Always Love You. And I think, like, I was struggling with who sings this. And I think it could be, like, a trio, perhaps. But I also think maybe the husband could just sing it and be like, go off into the world, young lesbian, please. Like, young queer person. But I don't know. I'm kind of, like, back and forth on that. Because I think, like, all of them might have some reason to sing and I Will Always Love You to different people in the trio. So. But in the story, they do have to end up together. And the happy ending song that Jolene and the protagonist sing together is Islands in the Stream. It's a great love song. Great karaoke song. Banger. All right. And that's it.
Wow. I love that. I also love all the jukebox musicals we've created on this show now.
I think we've done a great job. Lady Gaga, Dolly, who else?
You've done, like, I feel like we've done a few.
Did you do Selena at some point, maybe?
Yeah, but I don't think I did. Oh, I did a Destiny's Child one, I think, or Beyonce, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I don't even know our own show.
Who knows? We don't listen to the show.
So, for my recreate, I wanted to go off of the thing I love about the show where Jenna has those, like, inspiration pies. And I wanted to make a pie for each of the three leading women from 9 to 5 and also a surprise pie.
Oh my gosh.
For context, so I'm doing one for each of these women and I'm doing it at different, like, at specific points in 9 to 5. So, like, what their perspective or inspiration could be at those points. And also another important context is it's pretty dumb because I got really stoned when I did this.
Amazing. Can't wait.
Okay. So this first pie is for Dora Lee and it comes like around, like right when she's about to sing Backyard's Barbie. It's called the Double Dutch Cinnamon.
Okay. Please explain.
So it's lemon zest to keep things zesty. Cinnamon to give her a little more depth, and double Dutch apples for a double D with a perfect topping. Her brains.
Wow.
And like cinnamon, because he's a sinner man.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Okay, for Violet, I made hers for right when they're singing Shine Like the Sun. It is a kidnapple mango pie.
Kidnapple, okay.
A stick of butter to soothe the mind, Granny Smith apples to rely upon the resilience of our foremothers, and mangoes to let that man go.
Wow. Wow, you're 2 for 2. These are great.
2 for 2, thank you. This one's, I think, my favorite. This is for June, and it's at Get Out, Stay Out, and it's called the Forget About It, I'm Not Pecan You Pie. So it's, first of all, I should clarify, all of these are real pie recipes I found. Not the names, but, they're all based on actual, like, pie recipes. So, like, the last one's an apple mango, this one's a fig pecan, and it's called the Forget About It, I'm Not Pecan You Pie. Fig, to remind you, the version of him that's just a figment of your imagination is not the real one. Pecan for the crunch he'll make when you crush his bones. And brandied whipped cream for the extra boost of confidence for the adrenaline.
Wow, those are so creative.
Thank you.
Wow, working girls, saving the day.
Working girls.
With pies and truly. Kidnapping. That's the tagline. Okay, are you ready to announce next week?
Working girls, I'm ready to announce next week.
Pushing working girls out of the way.
Yeah.
Moving on.
One, two, three. Spooky, spooky. So next week we're gonna have two really spooky, spooky shows, and it's gonna be our Halloween in June or July, depending on when we release it. Episode.
Yes, we'll see. I have always maintained Halloween should be in June. So.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, get excited.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. You can follow us on Twitter at RateDebate1 and RateDebateRecreate everywhere else.
True. Had a lot of fun, and I'm excited to talk to you next week, Sammy.
Yes, you too. Bye, everyone.
Bye. RateDebate.